Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot-button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning and welcome back to Religion on the Line. I am Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph. And in the studio live is with me,
Reverend Katie Sexton from Community Christian Church. And on the phone with us from Chicago is
Rabbi Michael Zudik, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And we were waiting for Bebo's quote from Satchel Paige.
No quotes from Satchel Paige, just quotes from my father.
Oh, quotes from your father.
Yeah. He, like I said, he got to play against him a couple of times back in the early to middle 30s. And he said, my dad's been dead 22 years, so they didn't have guys in the big leagues throwing the ball 100 miles an hour. I don't think he saw that. You know, we got him today, but not 22 years ago. But he said, you know, we got guys that can play baseball today that throw the ball 90 miles an hour. He said, I don't know if I saw anybody throw the ball 90 miles an hour. He said, except for Satchel Paige. He said, I can't prove it. But he said, I bet that guy could throw the ball 100 miles an hour. Back in the 30s there. And he said, we played against him two different times. I said, what, back to back? He said, no. It was a couple of different years. It would just happen to be in the same area of one's in Iowa, one's in Nebraska. So I don't know where. It doesn't matter. But he said, I said, did you ever get a hit off it? He said, no. He said, I never touched the ball. He said, by the time I decided to swing at the ball, the catcher was throwing it back to the pitcher. He said, Gilbert Guerra. Now, Gilbert Guerra is a good friend of my dad, and his son is a good friend of mine. The son just passed away right after Thanksgiving, or right before Thanksgiving. I'm sorry. We were classmates and lifelong friends, and his dad passed away 20-some years ago. But he said, Gilbert Guerra played second base for us, and he said he got one single one time, and that's the only hit that any of us got in both of those games against Satchel Paige. He said, I've never seen anything like him. He said he should have been in the big leagues. Of course, he was. And, Bob, I'm going to ask you.
Bob's said, not there.
Bob's gone. Bob's gone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, well, I think he said that he broke in to Cleveland, which he did, at 43. I think he was 48, but I won't argue it.
I thought he was older, too.
It was in 1948.
That's why I'm getting the 48.
Yeah, and he was born in 06, so 48 minus 6 is 42.
42, okay.
42
I'll
years
stand
old.
Corrected.
And Bebo, from this Google page that I'm reading from, it says that he would get the outfielders to sit during the innings because he'd strike out the side.
I asked my dad, did that happen? He said, no. He said, we knew he had done that before. He says, I didn't see that, though. He said, he didn't do it at every game, but yeah. But he said, no, I knew he did it. He said, he didn't do that against us.
Well, great player has great legends.
Yeah, and
was your retreat? Tell us about your retreat.
Oh, it was making space for the sacred within was the theme of it. And there's a guy, Dr. Jim Fleming. I guess he won't mind if I throw the thing out there, his name out there. He happens to be Catholic. He's a psychiatrist. And he started it. Well, I don't know when he started it. I joined it 9 years ago. This is my 9th annual, and he leads the retreat, not the monks or the priests over there.
And so where do you stay at, the monastery?
We stay at the guest house there at St. Benedict's. No, we go to St. Benedict's College, yeah. And there's Father Blaine there that we've become friends with over the years. And no, I look forward to this every year. We usually do it in November. This year it happened to be in December because they were booked up in November.
And how many days is the retreat?
We go there Friday evening and come home Sunday afternoon after lunch.
And Michael asked men only?
I'm sorry?
Men only?
Yeah, it's called the KC. We call ourselves the KC Wise Men. He who walks with wise men will be wise himself. That's one of the
proverbs. W-H-Y-S?
W-I-S-E.
I know.
Oh, why? No, I like what you asked, though. W-H. Yes. I'll bring that up to Jim.
So how many wise men come to the retreat?
We've had as few as 5 and as many as 14.
Okay.
Of course, we've had 2 or 3 of them die also in the meantime, and we don't go out and recruit people.
Okay, so what'd you learn last weekend?
What did I learn? I learned I got a long way to go to really be good at meditating. I learned I still have a long way to go with quieting my crazy mind. It does happen for short moments. Mm-hmm. And we do that I don't have a number in front of me, but we'll do a meditation on Friday night. We'll do two or three on Saturday, and we'll definitely do one on Sunday morning. And the Saturday ones, after one of our 20-minute sessions of meditation and some discussion, then Jim will give us a proverb, all of us, different ones, and tell you, go out now for an hour, walk around the grounds, feel the earth, look at the river, those kinds of things, and think about the proverbs. And later on, we'll write about it. But while you're out there meditating, you just spend an hour not talking, nothing. It's not a silent retreat, by the way, except for that hour. And if you see each other on the path, nod to each other. Don't even stop and talk. Just keep going. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what else to say. I love going there. I love going into the church with the monks. And they split us up half on one side and half on the other so we can join them in their prayers when you sing across the aisle to each other, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I'll put a shout-out for Benedictine because my daughter just graduated from Benedictine.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of the fastest-growing Catholic colleges in the country.
I found that out this year.
Yeah. They've had to build I think two or three extra dorms.
Yeah.
And people might say, well, why is it one of the fastest growing? It's one of the fastest growing because of its strong Catholic identity. And I think for daily mass, you might have 400 students come to daily mass, which is phenomenal.
I'll tell you what, Friday night and Saturday afternoon mass, when we go to that over there, and it's full of students, and we look at each other and say, isn't it nice to see these kids in here instead of out getting drunk or shooting at each other or terrorizing people? They're in here praying instead.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It really is.
It's very moving.
And the friends that my daughter has made from that college are just top quality as well. Just wonderful, wonderful friends.
Well, our choir director at St. Bernadette's, who I'll be seeing here in a little while, his son is going to finish his sophomore year this year, and he wasn't there for the weekend because they came home and after finals in December there, and his son was on the football team. This guy looks like he's all muscle. He's a big kid, but he's quitting football. He's going to stick with music. He said he's not going to play football anymore, but he speaks highly of Benedictine. He said, I love going there. I said, good for you. God bless you.
Yeah, my daughter was sad that she graduated.
Yeah. So, no, I love that place. To me, that's sacred ground.
Well, but in the meantime, before we have to go to break again, Bebo, of course, thanks for the call. But second, just a word about, I'm assuming that when you're engaged in meditation and the noise and the traffic in the mind gets invasive, that they've suggested to you, welcome it and let it go, as opposed to give yourself bad marks on meditation.
Actually, yeah, they do, but the noise, the traffic and all that, where we're at inside, even when we go out and walk around on the grounds, it's almost non-existent.
Uh-huh.
Michael, have you ever been to the campus there, to the monastery in Atchison?
Is that for me?
Yes.
Yeah, I was there once a number of years ago, yes.
Okay, so you know it's up on the bluff?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, okay, good, good.
The only thing, 3 years ago, when I was walking along on the bluff, looking down at the river during this meditation, and just thinking about things, and all of a sudden I hear gunshots, bah, 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 and I thought, what? And I thought,
deer hunters.
Yeah, well, that's, I didn't know it was deer hunters for sure, but I thought, you know what? I bet there's a fire. No, some of it was rapid fire, pow, 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 like that, And I thought, oh, well, it's fun out there's a shooting range not far from there. But you talk about being pulled out of your reverie, because I was kind of a reverie. And, of course, you think of murders and drive-by shootings, and all of a sudden I hear these bullets flying, or now I don't hear the bullets, but I hear the gunshots going off, and I thought, what's this? I mean, I was shocked. Then I found out later it was a gun. There's a gun club or something.
Right.
not far from there.
Beeble, were you able to look at the exhibit, Wisdom of the Ages, where they have the historical documents from the Magna Carta, Declaration of Independence, the Gutenberg Bible?
No, I missed that. But what I did do, Father Blaine took us down to they had built a shrine for Our Lady of Guadalupe. And he said, you ought to take great, because I'm the only Mexicano there. And he said, you ought to take great interest. I said, oh, absolutely, I'll take great interest in this. And that's the only little tour we got from him. So, no, I've not seen what you asked about.
They have 35 original documents on display.
Well, copies of the original documents.
No, these are the originals.
Of the Magna Carta?
One page from one of the first finished copies of the Gutenberg Bible.
Okay.
A copy of the Magna Carta from 1576, but the copy's from 1576.
Oh, okay.
Handwritten manuscript of Thomas Aquinas from 1475. Mm-hmm. And the first public printing of the Emancipation Proclamation from the New York Times in 1862.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so they have some very old archival documents.
And they're on display.
And they're on display, yes.
Yeah. By the way, that reminds me of Baker University has one of the, certainly in the Midwest, one of the most extraordinary Bible collections that anyone might be able to observe, and it is available for touring. I would not tell somebody to just go down there unannounced. Find out if you wanted to see their Bibles, because it's part of the rare book room collection.
And everybody hold on, because we have to take a soft break.
And I got to get going.
Okay, Beeble, God bless. Happy New Year.
Are you starting your day with the KCMO Morning Show and Greg Knapp?
My culture that I grew up in, you never get a C. If you get a C, you should be ashamed of yourself. And there's going to be big problems at the Knapp House if you bring home a C. So what happened? Well, I buckled down and worked hard and asked to teach for extra credit, and I got a B. Never got a C. Yeah, culture matters.
The KCMO Morning Show with Greg Knapp, weekdays 5 till 9 on KCMO Talk Radio 710, now on FM at 103.7.
Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City, providing superior service and attention to detail for over 20 years. KansasCityDoor.com.
Thank you, Chiefs Kingdom. You've stood by us during the red hot and the icy cold, through the rain, the sleet, and the snow, through the victories and the defeats, and you've cheered. You've cheered louder than anyone has before.
Chiefs Kingdom, the Sea of Red has spoken once again. 142.2, a new world's record. And Kansas City, Arrowhead Stadium, is once again the loudest stadium in the NFL.
Seattle, can you hear us now? They not only took Seattle's record, they shattered it.
We're lucky to have you and grateful for your world-famous support. Before you know it, it'll be time for the draft, training camp, tailgates, and all the traditions that come with them. We'll be ready, and we know you will be too. So, thank you, Chiefs Kingdom. You are the reason we're proud to call this place home.
Hey, America, we are your pets, and this song's dedicated to those people who don't have health insurance yet.
In Roe, we say, we want you to be okay. In Roe, we say, take care, people, for goodness sake.
There's a plan for every budget, so don't accept defeat. Now you can get covered and still buy me treats.
In Roe!
So listen to me, a talking pug, you see. If you get health insurance, preventive care is now free.
So sweet.
You take care of your pets. Now it's their turn to take care of you. Visit GetCoveredAmerica.org to learn about your health insurance options. That's GetCoveredAmerica.org.
And take care, people!
Brought to you by Get Covered America and the Ad Council.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing on a summer night. It's pajamas with feet and everybody over for Sunday dinner. And that old stuffed chair in the living room you just can't get rid of. This is why you work a second job. This is why you learn to fix things yourself so you could save on repairs. Because home is your place, your memories, your family sleeping in their own beds at night. And that is why we want to help. We are making Home Affordable, a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. And now even more options are available. Call 888-995-HOPE today. That's 888-995-HOPE. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
When our water heater broke down last month, it took 5 hours for the plumber to show up, and he charged us a couple of $100 just to come out. Then it cost another $1,800 to put in the new water heater. I felt like I'd been taken. But what else could I do?
The smartest thing you can do is get a home warranty from American Residential Warranty. Their home warranties pay to repair or replace all your major appliances when they break. Just call 800-711-6816. That's 800-711-6816.
As a retired teacher, I look for ways to save money for the things I love, like traveling the world. Medicare plans change each year. Fortunately, my HealthMart pharmacist helped me understand my insurance, saving me money on prescriptions. And they can help you too. My pharmacist cares about my health and the things I love, whatever that might be.
HealthMart, caring for you and about you. Visit HealthMart.com for the locally owned pharmacy near you.
KCMO. We don't just give you a bunch of static. We give you an outlet. KCMO Talk Radio 710. Now on FM at 103.7.
You're listening to my heartbeat. My heart beats for God. Here on Religion on the Line, I'm Deacon John Perk, president of St. Michael the Archangel High School, along with
Reverend Katie Sexton from Community Christian Church, along with on the phone from Chicago,
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda, and we're very grateful to be able to be with you at 576-7710, 576-7710. John, what's our board look like at the moment?
Well, our board is you, and
okay.
And so I have an unanswered question for you. It's come up. A friend of mine was listening to the show some weeks ago when we were talking about Hanukkah and the Book of Maccabees.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Hanukkah comes from, you know this, don't you, that from the Book of Maccabees, yes?
Yeah, right.
And so his question was, why isn't the Book of Maccabees accepted as part of the canon if that's where Hanukkah comes from?
Yeah. The honest answer is that the books of Maccabees, there's more than one book, are part of the Apocrypha, which means they are part of the canon for Catholicism. And by the way, does Orthodox Christianity have the same canon as Catholicism?
Good question. I have homework to do.
My assumption is yes, but I don't know that.
That would be mine too, but...
As you well know, Protestantism does not include them as sacred literature. They're worthy literature, but not sacred. And Judaism has had the same opinion historically. They've never been part of our sacred literature. They're part of the literature that we view with some considerable amount of importance, but not in the same way that we would view the Hebrew Bible. And that it's really simply a function of when they fixed the canon for Judaism, they were not included. Now, there may be a prejudice involved in that the Maccabees ended up being terrible, terrible rulers, as corrupt and corrupting as the forces they fought against, which is not an unusual theme in history, is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah. Such is possibly a rationale, but we just know that it was excluded.
Okay, and taking us back to resolutions, since this is the mm-hmm. season of resolutions... Mm-hmm. Did you make any?
I did, and I've already messed it up, of course. it has to do with my patience quotient, which has always been an area of challenge for me, and the effort, especially with the persons who are most important in my life, to be more full of that than I need to be and they want me to be. But it's... we're all works in progress, and I hope I'm making some progress. That's a resolution I have every day, quite honestly, and New Year's Eve simply serves as another opportunity to confirm that effort.
And so patience, especially with those you love.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. That's a good one. Katie?
You know, my resolution this year is to be better about self-care on multiple levels. With just starting out in ministry, I think it's important to find good self-care habits and establish boundaries in terms of, as much as I love my work, but also figuring out how to do that and take care of myself. And I think that's where my patience, Rabbi, gets thin, is when I'm not taking care of myself, getting enough sleep or getting enough exercise or eating right, because I'm getting too caught up in too many things. I think I can speak for all of us when I say our work doesn't ever really stop.
That's for sure.
But it's a matter of figuring out how to balance it with everything else.
Yeah. Katie, I regularly say to rabbinical students when I have the opportunity, if you can get used to never getting your work done, this is a wonderful calling.
Yes, yes, yes. That's been a major change for me. I came from an office job where I was a manager at a university, and it was satisfying to have my tasks be done at the end of the day, and it's been very humbling to move into a role where nothing's ever 100% done.
So this is a second career?
It's kind of. I was working full-time to pay for school when I was going.
Ah, mm-hmm. Okay. So if we have a moment, I have a question, Katie, for you in terms of your experience in this internship.
Sure.
Any particular learnings that, they didn't teach me this in seminary, or this is a surprise vis-a-vis what I thought the experience was going to be of initiating a ministry?
There's a little bit of that. Maybe not every day, but probably every week, I would say. A big thing is realizing how much ministry just comes out of who you are versus having to refer back to this or that theological text and analyze or critique or question. Bob talks a lot about the hermeneutic of suspicion that a lot of recent seminary graduates will come with, and learning how to maintain that, but also balance it with loving people first and seeing the positive everywhere in ministry.
Help me understand a little bit more about the hermeneutic of suspicion. Is that
right.
What you said?
It's more about approaching things to get to the truth of the matter. So it's something that we're taught a lot in Scripture, to dig deeper, to kind of get our exegesis going and getting our sermonic claim or whatnot from that particular Scripture. And it's a good thing to approach things in ministry, questioning them, why they're done this or that way, to see if it still fits. But when you do that with everything, you're suddenly questioning everything instead of embracing the life of that particular group of people or congregation. So that's been an interesting, the scholar to minister transition has been a big one for me. And also coming from working in a business type background for 6.5 years to a ministry background full time. I was always doing ministry of some sort during that time. Has been another transition for me too.
Well, my understanding would be that a lot of communities would be inordinately grateful to have a clergy person who has a background that also includes an awareness of how business works, because congregations are not businesses, but they do need business capacities in order to function well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and this program, too, also has a business acumen right now. And we will be back after our business break.
KCMO.
CBS News Update. I'm Gary Nunn, praying for the dead and missing. More than 1,000 worshipers attended Sunday services at an Indonesian church in Surabaya, where Air Asia 8501 took off for Singapore. 131 people missing, 31 bodies recovered. 5 large objects have been spotted on the floor of the Java Sea.
The hope is that what the big piece is part of the fuselage and that they'll find bodies in it. The real prize after that is the tail section where the black boxes are. they find the black boxes, they'll be able to figure out what happened.
CBS News correspondent Alan Pizzi.
The hope is that these pieces will tell them what happened to the plane and will also contain bodies of passengers. If indeed the big piece, which is 59 by 18 feet, is part of the fuselage, they hope passengers will be in there strapped to their seats.
The suspected wreckage is in water about 100 feet deep, which experts say should make it reasonably simple to recover once rough weather fades. CBS News Update, I'm Gary Nunn.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
It's going to be a cold overnight with overcast skies. Winter weather advisory remains in effect through tonight. Snow will taper off after midnight, but the wind will really start howling in then. Out of the northwest at 16 to 24 miles per hour and gusty, wind chills well below zero. The low temperature tonight plummets to 5 degrees. Sunday, skies will begin to clear. Look for a cold high of 15. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Gary Yamble.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
Summer isn't fun when you're hungry.
If only I had a big test today.
Or a book report to give.
Give me a math quiz.
Give me some homework.
If your child relies on free school lunches, we can help provide them with free meals this summer.
I'll stay after class.
I'll clean the chalkboard.
I'll keep my desk real clean.
So they can stop worrying about food and start focusing on fun.
I'll do extra homework.
I'll clean the class pet's cage.
I'll skip recess.
I wish I was in school.
I wish I was in school.
School might end, but free lunches don't have to. Find your local Feeding America food bank for help. Together, we're feeding America.
Contact Harvesters, the Community Food Network at 211. That's 211. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Who might you save?
Your mother, your father, your husband, uncle, and son.
Learn FAST, F-A-S-T, the sudden signs of a stroke, and you could save
your friend, your best friend, teacher, boss, coach.
F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. F-A-S-T, face, arm, speech, time. That's F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. The sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in the recovery of
your neighbor, the waiter, a fellow shopper, a total stranger, grandmother, grandfather.
So learn FAST, the sudden signs of a stroke, then pass it on, because you never know who might save you.
Your wife, your colleague, teammate, mother.
Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
I heard on the news about that five-year-old who found his uncle's gun. The kid didn't know it was loaded.
I heard on the news about that 14-year-old girl who was bullied online. For like a year, she couldn't take it anymore, so she got her dad's gun from his nightstand.
I heard on the news about that guy who broke into someone's house, stole a gun from the hall closet.
He accidentally shot his cousin in the head.
She killed herself.
And later, killed the owner of the store he was trying to rob.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
When our water heater broke down last month, it took 5 hours for the plumber to show up, and he charged us a couple of $100 just to come out. Then it cost another $1,800 to put in the new water heater. I felt like I'd been taken. But what else could I do?
The smartest thing you can do is get a home warranty from American Residential Warranty. Their home warranties pay to repair or replace all your major appliances when they break. Just call 800-711-1111. That's 800-711-6816.
As a retired teacher, I look for ways to save money for the things I love, like traveling the world. Medicare plans change each year. Fortunately, my HealthMart pharmacist helped me understand my insurance, saving me money on prescriptions. And they can help you, too. My pharmacist cares about my health and the things I love, whatever that might be.
HealthMart, caring for you and about you. Visit healthmart.com for the locally owned pharmacy near you.
KCMO. We don't feed you bull, but we take the issues by the horns. KCMO Talk Radio 710, now on FM at 103.7.
And we are back. Back going into the deep of religion. I am Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, in the studio live with
Reverend Katie Sexton from Community Christian Church, on the phone with the rabbi in Chicago.
Well, and that's true. I'm Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And Michael,
and
thanks
Lord
to...
Behold. Go ahead.
Thanks to our sponsor, Cobra Guard, who sponsors our email. Someone has called in and said about your comment about Hanukkah and the Books of Maccabees, that he woke up when you were talking about that. And so he has a follow-up question. He says, why don't they follow their tradition completely?
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. Why not? If you're using, I guess, if you're using the book of Maccabees,
it doesn't have the same sacred status, and it's not viewed with the same reverential concern. It's worthy of study, but it is not normatively used in a sacred context. We wouldn't be reading from the Book of Maccabees per se as a part of the what's it called in Christianity?
The canon? Lectionary.
No, lectionary. In terms of reading it in worship, isn't that what that refers to? Mm-hmm. Right.
Uh-huh. But then why would does that mean that Hanukkah is a minor celebration?
Actually, that's exactly correct. It is a minor holiday. And in fact, one of the things that's curious is the Book of Esther made it in. The Book of Maccabees did not. And the Book of Esther is the focus for what we now call the Festival of Purim, which is not unlike Mardi Gras kind of idea. But the Book of Esther, which gives us Purim, which is also a less critical holiday, even though it's biblically based for Judaism, as opposed to Hanukkah, which is not biblically based for Judaism, is Purim, ironically, is the Jewish Hanukkah, by which I mean Purim historically was the gift-exchanging holiday that's changed in the Western commercial context. That Hanukkah is now a big gift-exchange time, right?
Uh-huh. So would the writings of the prophets and the Book of Psalms be in?
Absolutely.
Oh, so
the only books that are not the same. It's the Hebrew Bible is the same books as the Old Testament for both Catholicism and Protestantism. Mm-hmm. The Apocrypha and Pseudepigrapha, which are canonical in their status for Catholicism and not for Protestantism, are not in Judaism.
Okay, so would the Book of Psalms be read in a Jewish?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, I've learned something today.
In fact, the 150th Psalm is part of every morning service.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
From my one time that I went to the synagogue and participated in the service.
But lots of Psalms are part of the liturgy, ritual, etc. And like the Mass. And as opposed to many in Protestant traditions, it is a fixed ritual. The service is always going to be that service. There may be additions, but there's always that structure.
And take us to
free form.
And take us through that structure.
Oy. Well, there's. If you're talking about a morning service or an afternoon service or an evening service, it's similar and different.
So, well, how about a morning? Because I have experience with that.
Okay. It starts with how would I translate Birkot HaShachar? Blessings of the first light. Shachar meaning the breakthrough of day. Okay. And then it goes to Pesukei Dezimra, which sections of praise. And in effect, you're waking up. At least metaphorically.
Uh-huh.
And once you've done those two sections, now it's time for actually the worship to begin, which begins with the call to worship, which is part of the Shema and its blessings, Hear, O Israel, etc. And that then gets to the Song of the Sea, who is like you, O God, etc., etc., which transitions into the what's called the Amidah, the standing prayer, which is the prayer that the community does together and also privately. And then it depends what happens next, whether it's a service where you would be reading Torah or not be reading Torah. On Monday, Thursday, and Saturday, you read Torah, traditionally. So if that's the case after the Amidah, which is simply a Hebrew word that means the standing, we would then have the Torah service, which would include reading the Torah and the parading with the Torah. And then that is normatively includes and or is followed with a, the Hebrew word would be a drasha, a lesson, a teaching, what we might say in modern English, a sermon.
And that can anybody can give that sermon, or just the rabbi?
Theoretically, anybody can. Yeah, absolutely. There is no clergy technically in Judaism.
But there is a special place for the rabbi.
Well, the rabbi achieves that place presumably because of his or her learning and capacity to be an interpreter of the tradition in a way that is either engaging for the congregation such that they're prepared to continue to have a relationship with him or her, or they don't care enough and therefore they have him or her. But that was meant to be a joke. What has happened in America, of course, is, the easy example, John, as you may recall, is in Judaism you don't need a rabbi to get married. But as far as the state is concerned, I am empowered by the state to perform marriages. What you do need in Judaism in order to have a valid marriage is two people who eligibly get married, two valid witnesses, and an exchange of something of a known value, which is where the ring gets into traditional wedding ceremonies. And that's all you need. But as I like to call it, in America, we've gotten pasteurized. The Missouri statute used to read that a person who's able to solemnize a marriage is either a licensed minister of the gospel or its equivalent. Now, I know I'm not a licensed minister of the gospel. I am, quote-unquote, its equivalent. By the way, this is not dissimilar to Islam. I don't know how they do marriages in Muslim congregations today, but I wouldn't be the slightest bit surprised if the imam, who is not clergy technically, is often called upon to perform the rites or to lead the rites. Because as both of our traditions have, and I suspect this is the case for Katie as well, I don't marry anybody. I witness them doing the rites and ceremonies that bring their marriage to a status that's different from before they entered.
And we have the same theology. The ministers of the sacrament are the bride and groom, and the clergy is the witness to that. Mm-hmm. Now, after the lesson or teaching, then what happens?
Well, then there's the concluding prayers, which would include something which in English is called the adoration, which is quite honestly a summary of all of the service, in effect saying, hey, latecomer, you may have missed this part, here it is. Because in traditional settings, the service doesn't just simply start at 11. It moves with a certain sea-like rhythm. Now, that's not the case in non-Orthodox congregations, generally, but it can be.
Well, now the morning service.
Following that is the mourner's kaddish, and usually a closing song, and then we go eat.
Now I was familiar with the Orthodox service where on the side it was posted the start of the service, and it moved with sunrise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the service would not start until sunrise. Is that correct?
Technically. It truly does depend, because theoretically a Jewish worship morning service can start any time up until when it's no longer morning.
Okay, and then what part of the service takes place when the participants are reading the prayers privately, continuously privately?
When they're doing a silent Amida?
Yes.
Yeah. That's right after the Song of the Sea, after the Shema, etc.
Okay.
So it's before, if it's a morning service where Torah is read, it's right before Torah is read.
Okay, and this all lasts about an hour, correct?
Oh, it depends. It depends on what day of the week it is and what. So, for instance, and let's assume we're in a traditional synagogue. Okay, the morning service, if you're going to read Torah, is going to be anywhere between if we're talking about the daily service, because people have to get to work,
right?
It'll be anywhere between a half hour and 45 minutes. Because people are, the Yiddish word is davening, and people are prized for the capacity to do davening in a expeditious fashion during the week, because literally people are there fulfilling an obligation and getting into a mantra-like state as opposed to a content-like state.
Okay, and you hold...
It's really the rapidity of it that is often the value.
Okay.
Now, on Saturday, the service can go 3 hours.
Wow.
Because people are not going anywhere.
All right, you hold those...
My service on Saturday is maybe an hour and a 15 minutes, hour and a half.
Okay, you hold those thoughts because we have to take our soft break.
KCMO, Kansas City's home of Mark Levin. Mark Levin.
So the bigger problem or the bigger issue is the welfare state. It's the welfare state, whether we're talking about longtime American citizens, Hispanics, Asians, Blacks, Whites, everything in between. It's the welfare state that's killing the Republican Party, just as it's killing the nation.
The Great One, weekdays 5 to 8 on KCMO, Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Last night we put on an epic light show.
Yeah, we did.
The crowd loved us. We love the crowd.
Wait, but there were only 4 people out there.
Yeah, but did you see their 4 faces? All 8 of their eyes lit up brighter than ours. And we're fireflies.
Yeah, we are.
Hey, that one girl, she looked like she'd never seen glow in the dark like this before, and we invented glow in the dark.
Yeah, we invented it.
And we're going to be out here every night rocking out our light show at a forest near you.
Woohoo!
So come check us out.
Check us out.
And bring your kid all ages show. Oh, but don't bring any of those glass jars, because they make us kind of nervous.
Yeah, and I'm super claustrophobic.
Whether you're rocking their world or they're rocking yours, some memories never fade. Come alive with the forest. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a forest near you. And discover other cool things to do when you go, like fishing, biking, or even camping. Visit discovertheforest.org.
See you later!
Yeah, see you soon!
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Who might you save?
Your mother, your father, your husband, uncle, and son.
Learn FAST, F-A-S-T, the sudden signs of a stroke, and you could save...
Your friend, your best friend, teacher, boss, coach.
F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. F-A-S-T, face, arm, speech, time. That's F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. The sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in the recovery of...
Your neighbor, the waiter, a fellow shopper, a total stranger, grandmother, grandfather.
So learn FAST, the sudden signs of a stroke, then pass it on, because you never know who might save you.
Your wife, your colleague, teammate, mother.
Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
KCMO. Serious times. Time for serious talk. KCMO Talk Radio 710. Now on FM at 103.7.
Welcome back to Religion on the Line. I am Deacon John Perk, President of St. Michael the Archangel High School, along with
Reverend Katie Sexton from Community Christian Church, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda. And look at this. I get a Facebook friend out of this.
Right.
I just got your query.
Mm-hmm. Don't you love technology?
What do you think, John? Should I confirm?
Well, let me ask you this. I've had the experience of being there when the prayers were being read, the private prayers were being read, and it seemed like they were covering at least 25 or 50 pages, just continuous saying
of
the prayers.
Some of those prayers are skipped. I mean, you know, because they're for various holy days.
Oh, well, thank
you're
you.
You're quite right. There's especially if it's got English and Hebrew, usually English on one side and Hebrew on the other.
Oh, they were running through those pages, and I thought, how did they
absolutely.
Do it? But they were doing it all in Hebrew. And then,
right.
And so you said the purpose is not to tell us what the
it's
purpose.
It's not so much content as it is to get into a frame of mind.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that all my bones praise you.
Not so much content. I love that.
That is awesome.
It's kind of like our rosary devotion.
Mm hmm. It's not unlike a standing meditation.
Right. Right. All my bones, and that's part of the phylacteries.
Well, the phylacteries is related, for those who don't know, we're talking about these boxes with leather straps that are, one is placed on the forehead and the other on the left arm so that the box itself is by the heart, and they have inside them excerpts from the Shema, the various paragraphs of the Hear, O Israel Declaration. What it is about is a concrete way of stating, you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be for frontlets between your eyes. And concretely, that's what the phylacteries are meant to be, or as they're called in Hebrew, tefillin.
And then so now the Torah. Just as a review here, the Torah is the first five books.
Well, there's a hard part. Torah means two things. One, it refers to the first five books of the Hebrew Bible. And two, it can also mean all of Jewish learning, which would even include Apocrypha.
Okay. And then all the other books, the Psalms and the Prophets, what is that officially called?
Well, those are part of the Hebrew Bible. The Psalms are part of the section that's called Writings in English, and the Prophets are part of the section called Prophets. And the books of Prophets begin with Joshua in Jewish tradition, and go through Malachi, or is that how it's said in English, Malachi?
Yeah, Malachi.
Yeah, it's because it's Malachi in Hebrew.
But now you don't call it the Hebrew Bible. Do you call it the Hebrew Bible?
Well, the most common Hebrew term is Tanakh, which is an acronym for the three sections, Torah, Keh, Nevi'im, En, and Ketuvim, which is the Hebrew word for writings, Keh, Tanakh.
Yeah, I'll never be able to say that.
I may not say it well, but what the heck.
It sounds really good when you say it.
Well, you got to get that down in the guttural in the throat. That's the secret.
Yeah, I tried. I went to Germany to learn the guttural in the throat, and I didn't succeed at it very well. It was part of my training as a chemist.
Katie, how much longer is your internship?
I'm done April 2016.
Uh-huh. And I asked you about the surprises. Are you willing to say any thus far, and this is a hard one, any disappointments that obviously can turn around, but any disappointments so far?
I think The only disappointment, I don't know if it's a disappointment or learning I'm coming across is building a support community among clergy, I think, is it's been kind of an eye-opener, especially being women clergy, in terms of building that firm support group of walking through the first stages of ministry. So I've connected with some organizations like the Young, I think it's the Young Women Clergy Project, which is originally through the United Methodist Church, which brings people together, and tried to connect with some seminary colleagues as well to start building that.
By the way, in my movement, there's something called the Women's Rabbinic Network, which is an awareness that there are certain overlapping and obvious concerns that might even be gender-specific, not always, but might be. But one of the things that you point out, and John, I'm sure you're not going to be surprised by this, being a clergy person is a wonderful, extraordinary, amazing way to be the person you hope to become. But it is also often a very lonely position. There's so much you cannot and must not share. There's a certain separation that is sometimes imposed by lay people to you, and sometimes you, for good or ill, impose it on, vis-a-vis others. But it's very critical, Katie, in my judgment, you got to have a couple of really close friends. Generally, they have to be clergy. They can't be congregants with whom you can share pain.
And Michael, your expose on the Hebrew Bible caused Brad to call in. Good morning, Brad. You have a question about the Hebrew Bible?
Is there updated English versions like in the, like with our Bible? We have like NIV, NAS.
Different translations. Yeah, the most well respected translation in is the Jewish Publication Society translation. I think it was from the 1970s. I can't swear to it, but Jewish Publication Society, or JPS as it's often called, is the one to look for if one wanted to get a comparison of Hebrew scholars of Hebrew translating into English vis-a-vis some of the other translations. By the way, I use several translations, including my own. I don't mean my own.
Modern
day, written
modern
my
day
own
English?
In terms of, yes, it's modern day English.
Okay, just curious. Thank you,
Brad. Thanks for that call. And you hear the
music.
By
the way, is there only one Bible, English Bible, that's used in worship in your two traditions?
Our official one is the New American Bible, but there are others like the Jerusalem Bible, which have the Neil Opstadt for us that we can use in study and things like that.
Yeah,
can be used in worship.
Yeah.
For us, we use, I suppose, but officially it's the New American Bible.
Okay. Well,
but, you know,
we're up against it.
Yeah, we have that music, and you've been listening to Religion on the Line with Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Reverend Katie Sexton, Community Christian Church, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda, and with a new voice as well along with us, we're happy to say.
God bless.